Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
Welcome to the latest edition of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right. And Judo Larry M, on the eve of the big New York primary for president, both Democrats and Republicans. But before we get to the goodness, let's start off with what surely is everyone's favorite part of the show. And that would be... Pimping! All right. The pimping is, of course, our version of running for president, where we shamelessly whore ourselves out in the effort, Larry... of raising our Q rating and our branding.
Yeah, this is the only part of us that are politicians.
Yeah, basically, I would say.
We just slut ourselves out here. Spreaker.
Let's just start off with, if you want to find out more about the show, past history, show synopsis, and anything else you need to find out, please go to thatriotshow.com. thatriotshow.com for all the past shows. We have them there, Larry, on YouTube. We also have, like we said, show synopsis. Even going back to our podcast audio-only days, so go to thatriotshow.com. Then you can try hitting us up on social media. First place to go to Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Check us out there. Become a fan of the Riot's page on Facebook. Leave comments. Post things that you think we might find interesting or might annoy us, whatever you prefer. And then, my favorite, Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow, because on Twitter, Larry, there's no such thing as manners. Zero.
Which is why he loves it so much.
I love it so much. Like, let's put it this way. Facebook is the place where you just find me posting things, Larry.
Right.
Like, links to articles and stuff.
Twitter's a free-for-all.
Twitter is where you will find me asking Ann Coulter if she enjoys the taste of Donald Trump jizz.
Nice. And I'm going to take by the fact that she didn't respond.
That she might like it.
That she might be inclined.
Perhaps.
That's some of that orange man lava.
Yeah. Yeah, the continuous amazement of someone who used to be what most would consider a staunch conservative, all of a sudden bending over, grabbing her ankles, taking it in all three holes, whatever you want to say in terms of degradation. She's doing it all for Trump, Larry.
I can't believe it, though. I don't want to ruin the pimping part here, but since whoring is part of pimping, Jesus Christ. I can't believe that she actually likes him. I mean, it's just, she should be like revolted by him, like the rest of them. I mean, she's misconservative.
Yeah.
And why isn't she behind, I know he's an asshole, but why isn't she behind Cruz then?
Yeah, on policy alone, you figure she'd be behind Cruz, but anyway, whatever. Right. And then finally, since we have Phil back this week, Phil, do us a favor, do the role of podcasts, please. There It Goes. Catch us on iTunes, Spreaker, Podomatic, Player FM, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, TuneIn. Basically, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find The Riot. So check it out over there. Download it to your smartphones. Listen to it on your way to and from work. Whatever gets you off, ladies and gentlemen, we don't care. Just listen to us and make those downloads happen. All right, Larry, let's change it up a little bit. I know everybody's going to expect us to go right into the presidential politics, but let's change it up a little bit. This week, the Supreme Court deciding to hear some interesting cases. And the one that's probably grabbing all the headlines, Larry, Supreme Court going to try to rule on Obama's executive orders regarding immigration. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Obama's executive orders affecting some 4 million illegals, which will make their status, it will change their status to lawfully present.
Yeah.
I believe that's the
word. Legally present or
legally present,
like
that's what Justice Roberts called it. I'm not into the semantics of all it. I mean, look, obviously, if you're here, you're here. But if you're here illegally, you're here illegally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you are, Donald Trump is going to build a wall.
What happened here was that Obama issued some executive orders because he felt Congress wasn't making any progress on legislation regarding immigration reform,
right.
Which is true. They really didn't get anywhere.
No.
They were in a gridlock.
No.
You know, obviously Obama wants to let in as many future Democratic voters in as possible,
right.
And also legalize the ones who managed to sneak in anyway. Whereas the Republicans, both for selfish reasons politically and perhaps even for security purposes, said, no, you know,
yeah.
Illegal aliens, you know, the ones that are here, okay, maybe we give them a path to citizenship, but certainly we don't want any new ones coming in.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they had a stalemate in Congress. Obama, as is usually the case of liberals, socialists, and other big government statists, decided to become autocratic on the issue. Decided to rule by executive order, and he issued these
executive orders circumventing
that. Which, not even circumventing, but in essence, invalidating the law that's on the books now.
Yeah. But so, circumventing them in the sense that he's just not even going to deal with them now.
Yeah,
that was his whole thing at the election.
Yeah,
I have a phone and I have a pen and that's
stupidity. So. Yeah. So basically, there were a lot of states, led by Texas, of course, and I think 25 states in total, that basically sued the federal government to put a stop to Obama's executive orders. A federal court granted that stay and kicked it up to the Supremes. And right now the Supreme Court is listening to it. Now, don't forget the key factor here, it's a split court. It's four conservatives, quote unquote, four liberals, quote unquote, and one empty chair due to the death of Justice Scalia. And Larry, this is one of those cases where perhaps a 4-4 split actually favors conservatives.
Yeah.
Because the federal ruling was stop to the executive orders, basically put the brakes on Obama's executive orders. A split at the Supreme Court means the lower court ruling stands.
Right.
So, but they're still going to go through the process of arguing it out, Larry.
Yeah,
and
that's to be expected.
And you can already see where the major thought is on that side. You had Chief Justice Roberts and Sam Alito saying, look, these executive orders seem to be infringing on Congress's lawful role of creating legislation.
Right.
Whereas the liberal justices, like Ginsburg, said, look, there's already almost 11.5 million of these illegal or undocumented immigrants here. What are you going to do? You can't get rid of all of them.
Right.
And then Sotomayor stepped in to say, well, look, there's 11.5 illegals or undocumented, I keep saying illegals, but they would say undocumented aliens. But you're only deciding to deal with about 4 million of them. So obviously we're prioritizing here, right?
Right.
So there's, and Larry, I don't know about you, but when I listen to those initial oral arguments, it seems to me like the conservatives in this issue have a much stronger argument, saying, like, look, if Congress is gridlocked, so be it. It doesn't, there's no compelling reason for an executive order to circumvent the role of Congress.
Right, just because he's frustrated with
right.
the process.
Whereas liberals seem to be arguing, well, they're here anyway. Like, I didn't hear any of the liberal judges, at least from the excerpts I saw, debating on the issue of whether Obama's executive orders basically overstep his bounds.
Violates the Constitution.
Yeah, or violates the Constitution in terms of doing what Congress should be doing. Right. So their argument wasn't based on that. It was based on, well, what are you going to do? They're here. Or the, you know, the whatever. The, so whatever's out of the barn, what is it? What's that old saying? Something's out of the barn.
Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag. Something's out of the barn. I don't know. I'm not a fucking farmer, ladies and gentlemen. But
I'm not familiar with the barn one.
I'm not familiar with the barn one, but the cat's out of the bag. The milk's been spilled. Whatever the fuck you want, cliche you want to use. The point is, these illegal aliens are here, and you have to deal with them. Was basically the liberal argument.
Right. Here.
But I don't know. I think, first of all, if they could swing a 5-3 vote against the executive orders...
Oh.
I think that would be fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a 4-4
split. 4-4,
yeah. And it's going to go back to the federal court ruling, which, of course, will leave the case in a position where there's no real precedent set, which means it could probably come up again, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now.
Right.
And people would have a decent argument, both pro and con. But that is, honestly, the trouble with an even-numbered court, you know, because now you leave all these things to lower court rulings. And lower court rulings tend not to be a strong precedent, as Supreme Court rulings.
Yeah, I was reading, it's funny, just on a side note, I was reading something the other day that FDR wanted to expand the Supreme Court to 15 people. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he actually did, and he was rebuffed by, like, Congress or whatever. But
yeah.
It's funny that they actually, in the history of it, they monkeyed around with the numbers quite a bit. Somebody, some other president thought it should only be like 6 or 5.
Well, it's always supposed to be an odd number.
Yeah, that's an odd number, yeah. Right? So you could always have a deciding vote.
Yeah.
I think I actually agree with you. I think the conservatives have the better argument here. I understand. I will say this though. Obviously, they are here.
Yeah.
And look, whether you're deporting them all like stupid Trump, or whether you're for a pathway to citizenship, which even the Republicans are for.
Right.
What I really object to here is not only the circumventing of Congress and the Constitution by Obama, is the cynical attempt, as you said, to get voters, because that's what he's doing. But he knows that if he signs them up, you know, they're citizens, they're going to favor the Democrats going front. I think that's the wrong reason to do something. I'm not against a pathway to citizenship for them. I mean, it would be nice if they, if their first act of coming to this country wasn't breaking the law in the first place.
Right.
But look, like they said, I will agree with them. They're here, you know, it's kind of like the old gay thing. They're here, they're queer, gay. So they're going to have to do something. But at this point, if it's obviously, if it breaks down 4-4, it's going to go back to the previous federal decision. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, Obama's executive orders
stop. Right.
Yeah.
But it leaves it open to be represented again in the future, obviously. But the other thing to keep in mind is, like, I don't necessarily have a problem with a path to citizenship, like Larry said.
Right.
But just in terms of procedure, you can't have the president stepping in, especially in the non-emergency situation, taking over the role of Congress. Look, it's gridlock. I don't like it. As much as I joke about it being the best thing for the country, Larry, because the less government does, the better, in my opinion. But from a procedural point of view, it's frustrating to have 8 years, almost 8 years of your, well, actually more like 6 years of your 8-year term as president being
just shut down
in gridlock. I mean, I understand it's frustrating, but at the same time, you got to expect that when you're as polarizing a figure as Obama is politically.
Right. I mean, for all the Democrats out there, let's get something straight, that they're always saying he tried to work with them.
Never did.
Give me a fucking break. He's been a condescending jerk off since the first day he got into office. And you know why he's a loser and a failure? Because he had both houses when he got in.
Years.
And what did he do?
For 2 years.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Obamacare.
Even the Affordable Care Act required all kinds of massaging and backroom deals and promises to other people. Oh, please. And it didn't accomplish what they thought it was. Somebody said the other day we're like 90% coverage now. We went from like 85 to 90.
Yeah, at much higher cost.
Yeah, and saying kind of deals are there?
And they're saying most of these exchanges, most of these companies that are in the exchanges are failing. They're going to go bankrupt. A lot of them are. But anyway,
I know.
That's a separate issue.
He had his chance to do things. So I understand the gridlock thing.
Yeah.
And of course it's bad. Because as I've said before on the show, things don't work. People start looking to Trump. They start looking to Bernie. They start looking to people outside what you would normally get from it, you would expect from a candidate, because they're so frustrated with things aren't getting done. That's the appeal of, like, Trump. They think he's going to come and blow everything up.
Right.
Bernie's going to radically change it or blow it up.
Right, right.
So they're almost like the same people. So, right. But in this case, Obama, okay, fine. He's upset about the gridlock. He's very frustrated. I get that. But like you said, but you know what the problem is? You know, this is a gridlock of his creating. I understand the Republicans have been humps, but you know what? He could have met them halfway on a lot of these things and nothing. I mean, quite honestly, I can't think of a time when he really, or even took any of their ideas seriously.
Well, here's the other thing. You know he's, like, he's a horrible person as an executive because he couldn't get his own party to agree on shit.
Exactly. Well, that's why I mentioned
even
with the control
right.
of both houses. The Senate,
most liberals forget that. They'll say, oh, obstructionist Republicans. And
they love that.
But guess what? When you control both houses, when did it become that you think you need a supermajority? You don't need a supermajority for everything. How long do you think people can filibuster in the Senate? How long? Even if someone filibusters for a week or 2 weeks, what the fuck? So when people look at you and say, well, it's the Republicans who stonewalled them, yeah, they stonewalled them. I mean, nobody's arguing that. But don't forget, the Republicans won more seats as the result of stonewalling him. So maybe it's the psychotic nature or the schizophrenic nature of the American populace that they would elect a dumbass socialist like him, but then not give him the governmental control he needs to implement his plans.
But he had them.
I'm saying after the first 2 years, they changed it.
That his, you know, all the smooth and the bullshit we saw on the campaign trail back in 2008. You see, like, what it's just, it's so fake. And all of you fell for it. Those of you who fell for
exactly.
hope and change, get away.
And ask yourselves this. How many times have you seen him out there stumping for Democrats? Even now. He's not out there stumping for Democrats. He's not out there stumping for Hillary. And it's not like he's doing anything, honestly. Like, it's not like he's a world traveler in terms of foreign policy or something like that.
Yeah, he went to Cuba and goofed off.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like right now,
right.
he could be making a statement for the fuck the Republicans, for the Democrats. He could be saying, I support Hillary, or I support Bernie, or I support whoever, you know, O'Malley. It doesn't matter, right? Or he could be making, as a lame duck president, he could be making policy pronouncements, even if they don't get through Congress, like, hey, you know, but it just goes to show you that he doesn't even have that sort of persuasive capital within his own party, right? There's no Pelosi's running around hugging him on camera or anything like that, or Harry Reid. Like, it's just not happening. He is one of the most disliked presidents within his own party. Forget the Republicans, but look at his own party, and I almost challenge you to find me a significant number of Democrats that are happy to have their picture taken with him.
Yeah.
Like, outside
of... That's one of the reasons why he didn't campaign for them a lot.
Yes. Well, he's toxic.
After his 2 years and his 4 years, they didn't want to be seen with him. They didn't want to campaign with him because the Affordable Care Act went through, and who knew what that was going to be like.
Right.
And it was enormously unpopular, especially in a lot of Midwest, Southern states where
Well, that's what cost the House to the Democrats. Yeah. Don't forget, it was the passing of Obamacare late in the year that shifted the House from Democrats to Republicans.
And, tying this back, so now he does all these things to executive order, and he tries to do this thing with the illegal immigrants, because I got a phone and I got a pen. You know, that's not how you govern. And that just goes to show you, like, how bad things have gotten under him, how bad his attitude is about working with other people. I mean, for instance, I read one article that said when Cantor was still around, and, like, Boehner and even McConnell, I heard that they didn't even, like, see each other or talk to each other. I mean, these are, like, excuse me, it's the president, it's, like, the majority leader, and you're not seeing each other, you don't talk to each other, nothing. Well, then guess what? Nothing's going to get done. And whatever your big agenda was, Mr. Socialist, nothing.
Right.
So, and the fact that you couldn't get anything done when you had control of everything.
It's very damning. Yeah. It's very damning. Because
let me tell you something. If you gave me the presidency and both houses, trust me, I'll get shit done.
Something done. You get something done. You know, but anyway. So, regards immigration, I think it's going down in terms of his executive order, so then we'll see where it goes after that.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about now, let's get to it, is the primary in New York.
Yep.
And Larry, things are heating up. Obviously now, like we said last week, old momentum is definitely on the side of a septuagenarian socialist Born in Brooklyn and fucking living off the government teat in Vermont for the last 50 years, 60 yeah. years. You have Bernie Sanders, who is now neck and neck, a statistical dead heat with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is, again, now they're starting to talk about what we talked about last week, and certainly I know I predicted it. Once these superdelegates sniff that their woman is vulnerable, they're not going to stay committed to her, just like they did with Obama in 2008, right? Don't forget, in 2008, everyone assumed Hillary was going to get the nomination right. because she had all these superdelegates sewn up.
Right.
And then what happened as Obama got more and more momentum, it became more and more apparent that if you supported Obama, you were probably supporting a historic presidency.
Right.
Whether you agree with it or not, the first half-black president to be elected in the U.S. is historic, right? So a lot of them abandoned the first woman train because she's such an unlikable cunt that they all said, okay, we're jumping on the Obama train. And guess what? She lost, all right? All her superdelegates really didn't come through for her. Same thing this year. Don't forget, she played a lot of political games. There's a lot of arm-twisting, Larry.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to when the primary season even begun.
The husband's calling in every IOU you can possibly imagine.
Right, because he wants to get her out of the house. So now there's like, so she sewed up a lot of those, the overwhelming majority of those superdelegates way before primary season started. But those people are not legally bound to her in any way, shape, or form. So everyone just assumes, and you know, the media is in the bag for Hillary, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Because they keep reporting those superdelegates as if it's a done deal, like from the start. Oh, she's up by, you know, 800 or 900, you know, and then you look at the little asterisk that says including superdelegates. Well, here's the news, ladies and gentlemen. Bernie Sanders is something like 115 delegates behind her. Like I said, statistical dead heat. If you throw out the superdelegates, there's only 115 delegates separating Hillary from Bernie. That's more than what's separating Cruz and Trump.
Right.
And everybody's saying how Cruz and Trump are heading for a contested convention, which we'll talk about.
But you know the funny thing, though, is that makes it an interesting kind of race, only for me to this extent, because I don't like any of the candidates. Cruz and Trump really have differences. I mean, they're really not the same, because obviously Trump isn't really a Republican.
Right.
For those of you who still don't understand that, Cruz is a solid conservative Republican.
Right.
Okay. But Bernie and Hillary, they actually agree on a lot of the issues. If you really break it down. No. They really do agree. I saw a breakdown. You know, there's really not a lot of differences there. I mean, he's got the 1% and the bank thing and the breaking up Wall Street. And he's hitting her on her super PAC and her money and the Goldman Sachs. Sachs. Yeah. But if you go through, like, guns and abortion and against the death penalty and legalization for a lot of the illegals here, the support from unions, you know, these people are basically, they're basically the same, though he's forced her to go further to the left, right? So the funny thing is, I'm listening to them, and we talked about the debate. Now, the debate was particularly hostile, the one in Brooklyn. And I got to tell you, I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but the best part about it was the guy who covered it for CNN, some reporter, he said the difference with this debate than the other ones was how little they actually like looked at each other and acknowledged. He goes, during the commercial breaks. Because in previous ones, like if you notice, like they would walk off from the podium O'Malley would walk over and cheese around with them a little bit.
Right.
This time, none of that. They have officially gotten under each other's skin. Now, why is this important with the superdelegates and the race? Simply this. I still think Hillary's going to pull it out. But here's the problem. She's got to be nice to this old fucker. You know, this is the problem. Because here's what the guy said. They have now concluded that something like a third, they're saying a third of Bernie supporters are Bernie or bust. Mm. Meaning, if their guy doesn't get the nomination, they're not going to go, ooh, okay, with Hillary. In fact, even stupid Susan Sarandon said she's going to vote for Trump just to fuck things up. So the point of all this is she's got to be very careful how she handles this guy, because she's got to beat him, and she's got to beat him up and rough him up and, you know, dismiss him and blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't want to dismiss, because they're saying it's a third. I'm telling you it's more like 50%, because I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, these people do not like her at all. And the guy also reported that every time she spoke, there were these Bernie supporters just shaking their head, though she's espousing views that they agree with. They won't have her. They think she's just a female Donald Trump, just not as crude and nasty. The race is coming down, and tomorrow we're going to have it. Now, I think Hillary's going to win tomorrow.
Yeah, but it depends by how much, right?
Yeah, but yes, it does. But I think she's going to win. I don't think like it'll be like Bernie Sanders wins by 2%. He's going to lose. But but the funny thing is that she was so far out ahead, and she used to be a senator here. And the fact that it's neck and neck with this crazy socialist, you know, at some point, you know, there's got to be a part of her that realizes like
she's panicking. She's panicking right now.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what. She's panicking right now because she's starting to do stupid shit to seem human. Do you know what I mean? And it sounds like I'm making a robot joke at her expense, which I am to some extent. But she's been saying, like the other day in Harlem, I think, she was being interviewed by some urban radio station. By the way, that's code for black radio station. And she said something along the lines of, you know, if I don't have the quote exactly right, forgive me, but basically the thrust of it was, I don't go anywhere without carrying hot sauce in my pocket. What? You know, like, first of all, if I were black, that would offend me. Like,
and this is on top of the colored person cautious policy.
Yeah, the CP time, right, with Bill de Blasio.
What's going on?
So she's trying so hard to make herself seem like a woman of the people when she is the furthest thing from it. We've said it even at the beginning, right? She doesn't like eating at truck stop diners. She doesn't like staying in less than 5-star hotels.
Well, yeah.
She hated being in Iowa. She hates like being on the subway. They even did it on Saturday Night Live where she couldn't figure out how to swipe her Metro card, which was true. You could tell she'd never been on the subway practically in her life.
She did it like this.
Yeah.
And she was like staring at, like, you know, if you're a New Yorker and you know this, get your Metro, you just swipe and you
as you're
right
walking
through.
You
the
don't
chances
stop.
That you're going to fuck it up and the things are going to and you fall forward is like almost nothing.
Right.
The only time that happens is you have insufficient fare.
But the thing with Hillary is it underscores also how much of a New Yorker she is not.
Right.
I mean, you know.
She won the Senate seat, but what does that mean?
Well, she was basically given the Senate seat, but the truth of the matter is she's from Arkansas. And she spent most of her time in Washington. She's really not a New Yorker. Bill, at least, made the effort of having his office in Harlem. You know, every so often he'd pay a visit down there. Plus, he was the real first black president, that old joke. Hillary, you could tell, is so uncomfortable. She hates being with the common people. Now,
She hates campaigning.
I fucking don't even care about that personally, to be honest with you. I mean, nothing says that to be electable, you have to be a common folk, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, but it does matter. Because they're in the party that's always emphasizing that shit. You know, like going all the way back, a couple of decades when they used to say, can you imagine yourself having a beer with this person? Like, that was their shot at Republicans, that they're not like normal fucking people.
No.
They're uptight.
I agree with you on that. But because she's so ill-fitting, even now Sanders looks like someone you can hang out with, even if he is a fucking crazy old socialist, all right? I see Bernie Sanders riding the fucking subway or taking the bus.
That I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's honest.
As a person, I kind of like him too as a person, you know. And I've always said I think he's the most sincere candidate out of all of them. Like when he says I'm doing it for the people, I kind of believe him. I don't think he's doing it for himself. Again, the only problem with Bernie is all his ideas are wrong. Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like you can have the greatest. Milton Friedman used to say, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions," and he meant it economically, saying, "Look, you could say you want to do good, but if the result of what you do is actually bad, all your good intentions amount to shit."
Right.
So
the Wall Street Journal did another thing on it. There's not enough money in the world to pay for all the shit that he went.
Right.
They actually put the total cost at something like $28 trillion.
It's ridiculous.
Some crazy amount of money, and his answer to that was, I do not agree with those numbers. Like something like that. I was like, well.
Yeah, no socialists ever agree with the numbers.
Yeah.
But that's you know.
They think there's enough wealth out there. Like,
yeah,
well,
they're just nuts.
And his justification for it is, he goes, well, the Europeans do it, the Canadians do it.
So when you talk of, and we'll get to that in a second, because there's something else that broke because of that. But I just wanted to say, so now you've got Hillary losing momentum.
Right.
Essentially statistical dead heat the rest of the way between her and Sanders. Her only real hope is that between her, Bill, and whatever old school Democrats are left that she still has control over, that they're going to keep those super delegates in line. That's her only hope. Because I wouldn't be surprised if at, by the end of all this, Bernie has more elected delegates or pledged delegates on his side. I wouldn't be surprised at this point. California is another wacky state. He could win in California. He could pull like 45, 46% in California, which would be a good long way towards him getting close there. So
they got a lot of flaky leftists in California.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of Jerry Brown, you know, hippy-dippy people, right? So her path is becoming more and more treacherous, and it really depends now on those superdelegates. Now, the Republicans on the other end, Trump is going to win New York. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Please, he's going to win by 20 or 30 points.
But Trump now is also still seemingly coming unglued at the hinges, right? Because he lost another 14 delegates through the party process, you know, the caucusing and whatever the fuck it is. Was it Wyoming?
Wyoming,
14. Of course, learning nothing from the previous week's mistakes, he's immediately on social media saying, lying Ted Cruz has stolen my delegates. I have a million more votes than he does. Fuck him in the ass. Whatever he was saying.
Well, he's got to keep playing the rigged right all the way to Cleveland.
So. But not even really tempering it at all. Just, and I give Cruz credit. For the most part, he hasn't been replying to him. Now is the right time to ignore. Not at the beginning when they should have been attacking him, but now is the right time to ignore. Because every time Trump opens his mouth, he exposes himself for being a five-year-old. Constantly now.
Yeah. But unknowledgeable. I understand he comes across like an immature bullying asshole, but he's unknowledgeable. I was watching something the other day, and William Crystal. And even he was saying, and he just ended, he went through like a whole thing on how they went through his thing, he says nothing. Like even what you were saying, they went and met that editorial board,
the Washington Post,
complimenting people like on their looks and different things like that. And he went, Crystal went through the whole thing, then he goes, this is a person who should not be president, should never be elected president. And this is a very sober, conservative guy, he really is. And, you know, you can see he's not even crazy about Cruz. But, you know, you watch Trump, and he doesn't learn anything. And listen, let me tell you, if you're Cruz out there, here's what you should do. Even though he probably won't show up, you should right now, you should challenge him to another one-on-one debate. You really should. You should really start pushing that. Because if he doesn't show up, it'll show that he's scared. And he doesn't have other people to pawn things off of. He doesn't have stupid Ben Carson to, like, be weird with. He doesn't have Jeb Bush to smack around. He can't smack around Cruz like that. One of the things that Cruz can do is he can debate.
Yeah.
Okay? He was good at it in Harvard. If I'm Ted Cruz right now, I want to get him on a one-on-one debate. Forget Kasich. Okay? So the funny
thing...
But
that's actually a good point, Larry. I hadn't thought of it. Trump won't agree to it, but I really do think that, to your point, if there was another debate right now that was by professional debate hosts, not CNN assholes. Like, you know what they would probably do good at? Like a PBS debate.
Yeah.
Have Cruz and Trump in a PBS debate where you have, like, the McNeil-Lehrer types over there asking specific questions that will not tolerate bullshit. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if someone starts saying, like...
podiums. Have them sit, like, in chairs at a desk. They did this one time.
I think
Frost used to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And sit there with the moderator and talk to people, because it's a different effect when you can't stand, like, you know, when he's standing at Trump and he's talking about Marco, and he's, you know, if I tell him to do it, they'll do it. Like, you know, it's a different dynamic. Plus, if you're sitting there, you really have to think extemporaneously. You can't just bullshit, and you have to know the things. And let me tell you something, you're Ted Cruz, and again, I don't even like him, but he knows the issues. He knows his stuff. I'm going to give him that. He knows, you know, there's no two ways about it.
He's a Harvard lawyer. So,
this is not, you know, I don't like him, but he's not a stupid guy, and he knows the issues. If I'm him, you want to get a one-on-one debate, like John said, McNeil-Lehrer, that's a good idea. But get him somewhere where he really restrict all his histrionics and his craziness and his and all that, and just really try to fight him on the issues. Like even that one debate where Ted Cruz was saying, breathe, calm down. Forget dumb shit like that. That actually hurts you. As soon as you lose here in New York, Cruz, and you will lose big, because New Yorkers hate you. Once you're out of here, get him in a one-on-one debate, and make sure that they really drill through the issues. And he's going to have to explain all these things, like how you're paying for your stupid wall. You can't get away with answers like Mexico's going to pay for it, because they're not. I don't know. Does that mean a tariff war? find out.
Well, a good moderator would press him on it.
Right.
A good moderator would say, you just stated Mexico's going to pay for the wall. You've said that repeatedly. How are they going to pay for it?
Yeah. How are you going to get them to do it?
Or how are you going to get them to do it?
Because they're so publicly stated, the fuck, no way.
So then all these Trumpkins that think their man has, like, this convoluted plan for getting Mexico to pay for the wall, have him explain how he's going to do it.
Exactly. But that's important about the moderator.
The moderator
can't get away with answers like, they're going to build it, and now it just got 10 feet higher.
Right.
What does that mean? Like, this is a cheap line, and then, you know, you heard the...
Well, that's why you need it on something like PBS that doesn't give a shit about ratings.
Yeah.
Like, when it's on
CNN...
And
no audience.
No audience would be...
Just a studio.
But you see what... To Larry's point, when they had these things on CNN or when they had them on Fox, or did they have one on them? No, it was Fox or CNN, I think, right? Those outlets are ratings chasers. And I'm not even saying that in a negative way. Their job is to get ratings. That's how they make their money, okay?
I think they had one debate on the
CNBC, right. But my point is, those channels all need to make money. So they're going to depend on ratings. PBS is publicly funded. It's private donations as well. So they don't have to play to the ratings. They can sit there and say, I'm going to have Cruz, even if you want to throw Kasich in there, because Kasich would do well on the issues too, I think, compared to Trump.
Absolutely.
At that point, then you say, okay, Mr. Trump, you said you're going to build the wall. How are you going to pay for it? How much will it cost? Why are you under the impression that Mexico will pay for it? What do you mean when you say you'll use the U.S. armed services to reduce the trade deficits with China and Mexico? Have that asshole explain exactly how it is, and if he can't explain it, you cut him off. You don't let him say, you're a good-looking man, I remember when I came... Because, by the way, we're not making these answers up. Go back and look at the tapes.
Right.
He answered one question by saying, I enjoyed myself... I forget what the moderator's name was. He goes, I enjoyed myself on your radio show last week. Was I not the best guest you ever had?
Yeah.
Like, that was his answer to a policy question.
Right. He gets away with just calling in and doing it. You have to take away all his silliness that he gets
his
to stand there.
Yes.
His distractions. He gets to play to the audience. All these things. And if I'm Cruz, I want to get him in a one-on-one debate, because I actually think Cruz would beat him in a one-on-one debate. I really do. Maybe not horribly, but you have to get him in an area where... Also, he has to give intelligent answers. No more lying Ted. No more, incompetent Hillary. What does that mean? I mean, for the people who are supporting him, what the fuck? It's just silly name calling.
And for all you Trumpkins that keep telling me he speaks his mind, he has no filter, again, that's not a plus.
Yeah.
That's not a plus. Think about your
and
own
he
life.
He knows it's not a plus. Because now he's saying that once this primary, he's going to be more presidential.
Yeah.
Which I've been talking about for months, how unpresidential and unstatesmanlike he is. He's going to turn it on. That's ridiculous. He should have been doing it all along.
By the way, for those of you that thinking having no filter is a plus, just think of your own lives, people, and how stupid you sound. Like, would you walk up to a fat chick and say, "Ma, you look fat today?"
Yeah.
Or how can you wear something so tight when you're so fat? Or is that a blister on your nose or a mole? What the fuck is that on your cheek? Is there hair growing out of that thing?
I mean, do you realize during he watched the Democratic debate, and because Hillary took longer to get back, we know that she went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
He goes, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's absolutely, it's like, disgusting. Let him go to the bathroom, fucking asshole.
But that's my whole point, right?
He gets away with that.
He gets away with that shit because his followers, why is that a plus to you?
Right.
And again, think about your own life. You, unless you're a psychopath, wouldn't deal with people in your life who haven't really, like, been shitty to you, right? And don't say, oh, the establishment. Trump has not been in politics. The establishment has never hurt Trump. As a matter of fact, the establishment has more often than not, Larry, helped Trump.
Yeah.
We've already said it. He's used eminent domain to build parking lots for his shitty casinos, okay? He's used the establishment. So when someone tells me Trump is anti-establishment, he's sick of the establishment, why? He's one of these crony capitalists that's taken advantage of the establishment.
He's giving donations to everybody.
The Clintons especially, okay?
Yeah.
So for all of you people, and you know who you are, especially friends of mine that go through this with me on Facebook or Twitter, in your own life, you wouldn't be as shitty a human being as Trump is at these debates. You wouldn't. You just wouldn't.
And if you knew somebody like that,
you'd slap him in the face.
You wouldn't tolerate a fucking person like that. Exactly. You'd fucking smack him and go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, for some reason, you think that this is an attractive quality in a candidate who wants to be the president of the United States. Add to the fact that the rest of the world thinks he's a fucking asshole.
You think Vladimir Putin's going to put up with Cruz putting ugly pictures of his wife up on the internet?
Trump putting Hillary.
Trump, yeah. You think Putin's going to put up with that from Trump? What, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay. Putin, as it is sending his airplanes 50 feet away from our warships to buzz him just because he's a crazy asshole.
Yeah.
Do you think fucking Trump is going to stop him by saying, it just got 10 feet higher?
Yeah.
We're going to, you're
you know what he's going to do?
You know, it's like
he's going to find a picture of Putin riding around with no shirt on the horse, and he's going to put like earrings on his nipples. He's going to be like, Pussy Putin. Like something stupid like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just like stupid things. So all the people out there supporting here, Trump, you need to start thinking about what the fuck you're doing. And if I'm Cruz, I want to get him on the one-on-one.
That's actually a great idea. I never thought of it, Larry, but that's actually a good thing. Anybody from Ted Cruz's camp, if you're listening, challenge Trump publicly to a one-on-one debate, mano-a-mano, on fucking PBS, no crowds, no town halls, one-on-one, and put a strong moderator in there that'll keep him on task, on point. All right. Larry, let's quickly shift gears here. I want to talk about the fallout from the North Carolina so-called bathroom law that was passed.
Okay.
Now, we touched on it last week a little bit towards the end of the show. I want to give it a little more time because it's still in the news. Have you noticed how liberals have lost their shit over this law?
that's to be expected.
Yeah. No, I know it's to be expected, but...
Yeah.
And the more I think about the liberal reaction to this, and again, I stated there should be no laws, period, right?
Yeah.
As a libertarian, there should be no laws of this nature, right?
Yes.
There should be no law that says you can't associate with someone, and there's no law that says you should associate with someone. Both are bad laws. Let people decide how they want to deal with each other as long as it's peaceable and non-aggressive.
Right.
That's the only condition I have for interaction with people. But you fucking liberals are the biggest hypocrites on the face of the planet, okay? This law passes. By the way, it passed. It passed legally. You may not like it, but it passed legally through a Democratic process or a Republic process, okay? We've documented how other state governors are banning travel to North Carolina, like Governor Cuomo here in New York. I know several other governors have passed these things. Fair enough, whatever. Then I see someone like Bruce Springsteen, who canceled all his concerts in North Carolina, citing his opposition to the bigoted state of North Carolina against gays, lesbians, transgenders, questioning, whatever the fuck it's called these days. Michael Moore tweeted that he told his distributors not to release his latest film in North Carolina in protest because he's against the lesbian and gay-hating people of North Carolina. And you know what? As a libertarian, they have every right to say, I'm not going to play North Carolina. Michael Moore doesn't want to show his movie there. That's fucking great. But guess what? Here's what's ironic. Isn't it great that you guys get to decide who to associate with?
Right.
And who to do business with?
Not the government.
Right? Isn't that a great right to have? Why is it that you guys get to decide? What if North Carolina forced Michael Moore's company to show his film in North Carolina against his wishes? I'd be against it. I'd stand with Michael Moore in that thing. But tell me, Larry,
right,
substantively, what's the difference between what Michael Moore wants to do and those dumbass Christians that don't want to bake a cake for a bunch of fags? Right? Because that's the way it's perceived, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These evil Christians don't want to bake cakes for fags. We have to force them to bake cakes for fags. Because you know what? It's a public accommodation. Like fucking cakes were ever a public accommodation, okay? Well, if baking a cake is a public accommodation by any weird logic, Larry, what about showing a movie? Why isn't that a public accommodation?
Right.
And if you're showing a movie in 49 other states, isn't it discrimination to say I'm not showing it in the 50th state?
No.
Right?
No.
Isn't that a great personal liberty to have Michael Moore? Isn't that a great personal liberty, Bruce Springsteen, to say, I disagree with those assholes, I'm not going to perform for them, their money is no good with me? Isn't that a wonderful, basic American and human right to have as per our First Amendment? Why are you denying it, though, to all the citizens of North Carolina?
Right.
Even from a practical perspective, not everybody in North Carolina is pro the anti-bathroom law. But you're making everyone there suffer, aren't you, liberals?
So when Michael Moore might want to think about getting his movie out there, it bombed so bad.
Yeah.
He needs every dollar he can get.
I'm not kidding.
That last movie, I heard it really whiffed.
But people like Michael Moore exposed the... You know what? Those types of liberals, Larry, are just as hypocritical as like when you find a family values conservative who's been caught like getting his dick sucked in a bathroom stall somewhere by a hooker, all right? I find those guys despicable because they're hypocrites.
They're hypocrites, right.
And Michael Moore and Bruce Springsteen in this case, you are just as hypocritical. George Clooney is just as hypocritical. After he gets out and he says, I'm sick of big money in politics, then he hosts a $380,000 a couple benefit for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Really? You find money in politics that despicable? Or is Hillary Clinton that much of a savior that you had to go against your principles to host this fundraiser for her, Larry?
That's great. And let me tell you something. Here's an interesting thing about Clooney. If he really feels that way, then why isn't he supporting Bernie?
Exactly.
Because Bernie Sanders' entire point is she's getting all this money from this super PAC. And all these guys from Wall Street are funneling their money into it. And look, let's face it, the Bernie, feel the burn people out there, they absolutely believe that, and it is the case. But, I mean, I don't care, because that's the system that's in play. If you raise money from a super PAC, so what? See, the problem they have is, you know, they keep arguing, so that's how it's corrupting things, and those candidates get everything. Didn't help Jeb Bush any. Do you know how much money he got from a super PAC? He went nowhere. So, but you know what, Clooney? If that's really the way you feel, then you know what? You should be feeling the burn, stupid, because quite frankly, Hillary has got so much money. And you and the rest of these people in Hollywood don't mind giving it to her. And as far as North Carolina, look, this is why, John's eyes are right, this is why all these laws are stupid. Yeah. And they just beget all these dumb reactions and everything. Look, you don't want to show your movie there? Don't show your movie there. You don't want to do a concert there? Don't do a concert there. And you know what? I don't want to bake a cake for two fudge packers. That's the way it goes.
Nice, what you would call tie-in between cakes and fudge.
That's right. Because you're both in here.
So it's needing it, yeah.
But it's the same kind of silly. Now, like for instance, and we called it. You're going to see this now.
Yep.
So now North Carolina passed this law. So there's the usual hysterical reaction from the left. You know, I can't believe my gay whatever can't get a Twinkie or whatever the fuck they're upset about. Now, down the line, there'll be another law. And it'll probably be to combat what they think is this law.
Yeah.
And then some of the religious people are down. They'll get upset. And then they'll do something.
Yeah.
And then there'll be something else down the line. And before you know it, it just escalates into this completely stupid battle over something that shouldn't happen in the first place. Look, I realize that the people who don't want to bake cakes for homosexual couples, personally, I think they're idiots. I mean, you know, why would you turn any business away?
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, are you really that offended? The Supreme Court says it's okay for them to get married. You know, and on top of it, look, they're going to get married anyway. You might as well get the business out of it. I mean, if it really bothers you that much.
But if you want to give up the money.
But if you know, if you want to lose the business, all right.
Fair enough.
I don't understand that, but you know what? If you want to lose the business.
Go ahead.
Right, that, go ahead. And I don't think you should be forced to do it. But I think you should be honest about why you're doing it. Whenever I hear the religious argument, I always say to myself first, is this really like, is it really a strong religious belief that what they're doing is wrong?
I think for a select few it is.
Yeah.
Very select few. But
considering that they're all like redneck idiots, I have to believe that it's just a bigoted thing. You know.
But I agree with you. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what their reasons are.
Oh, right. I'm just talking about their motivations. Yeah. If you don't want to bake the cake, don't fucking bake it. That's fine. No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But I just mean, when they put out that argument,
Yeah. And yeah, I think it falls flat. I have to tell you something. This whole, like, gender decision-making process is fucking ridiculous. First of all, if you're going to bother to have separate sex restrooms in places of public accommodation, meaning places that the taxpayers fund, okay, then let's be honest. If those things exist, you can't have people deciding the morning they wake up what gender they are. And listen, let's talk straight. Cut the bullshit. Okay? I've seen so many liberals try to define what's a male and what's a female. You get things like feelings of inadequacy, where do you most associate with emotionally, do you wear your... You know how you tell a male from a female? Two X chromosomes... No, not that, Larry. Okay. Two X chromosomes or an XY. A female? Two X's. XY? Male. That covers 99.5% of all humans on this planet. There's a few that have, like, different... They're the true hermaphrodites of the world, all right? But for everybody else, the overwhelming majority, no matter what you think you are, you're either a woman or a man. It has nothing to do with sexual preference even, okay? Like I said, you wanna, if you're a dude, you have an XY chromosome set, and you're walking around with a wig... Fake titties, calling yourself abroad, that's your business. I don't give a shit. Wear a dress if you want. You know, cut your dick off. I don't care. It's your choice. But you're taking others and forcing them to believe the shit you do. That's wrong. Okay?
Yeah.
So you want to go piss, or whatever? That's your business. Go in your own apartment. Piss however you want. Standing up, sitting down, standing on your head. Nobody gives a fuck. But why are you imposing your beliefs on others? You know, I find that amazing, Larry. So-called liberals who are for diversity, for freedom of speech, allegedly. But it's only their diversity, their freedom of speech.
Well, that's always been their thing. As long as it's something that they like or they believe, like what you said is absolutely right. You think about the XY. All right, fine. So you're dressing up. I mean, I'm okay as long as you're good looking.
As long as he can mistake you for a chick.
If
okay.
I actually think you're a chick and I get you home and you have a cock all of a sudden, all right.
That's upsetting. Shake down the Adam's apple. But anyway, yeah, so call yourself whatever you want. Stick to XYXX. That should be the law, actually.
Yeah.
That should be the law.
We whatever should make a cake that says XY.
Pick one. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, Larry. That's about the time we have for everything this week. Join us again next week right here on The Riot as we tackle more substantive issues like what bathroom should people piss in.
And the first round of the NFL draft.
Until next week, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
Peace, bitches.
Peace out.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.